This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Running the three-man show today with Cakes on Vacay. It's EB, Bish, and JP. But joining us right now is the president and general manager of the Washington Nationals. He's brought to you by Main Street Bank. They are a business-focused community bank serving neighborhoods throughout the DMV. Main Street Bank, put their team in your office. Visit them at mstreetbank.com. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Junkies. How are you guys?
What's up, Mike?
Doing all right. You got to be feeling good. You take two yesterday. Let's get into each of the games. JoJo Gray pitches the first one. I think he goes 5 1/3, 8 strikeouts, gives up just one run. Are you liking what you're seeing from Gray so far this season?
Mike, his curveball was on point yesterday, man.
Yeah, it was. That's a good pitch for him, and he's making progress. We see a little bit of progress each time he goes out there. He kind of does something that we go over in the meetings. He's a student of the game, and he's making good slow progress, and we feel that he and we'll talk about Adone in a minute, but those. You know, guys, those 23, 24-year-old rookie starters, they're going to be the linchpin of our rotation in the years to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he pitched in Atlanta, so he's had back-to-back stud starts, and I think he was around 5 innings against Atlanta. He didn't allow that many hits, maybe one hit in that game. How many pitches was Davey aiming for yesterday? Was he aiming for, 75 to 85, somewhere in there?
I think at this point we're trying to, we're comfortable, going somewhere around 100, 85 to 100 pitches, I think is wow. Very reasonable to expect. Now, Davey's going to always, do what's right for the pitcher, leave them with a good taste in their mouth. And when he sees the first time that the kid's going to struggle, he's going to grab him and try and get him out of there. But You picked it out. His curveball was really good yesterday. His velocity was, where it's supposed to be, 93, 95, and for the most part hit his spots. And, to me, that's the key to both of these young starters and their progression is consistency of fastball command. And when they have it, they pitch well, and they'll pitch deep into games. And when they don't, they're going to struggle.
So let's get to Adone. He's different than Gray in that you acquired Gray. Drafted by a different organization. Jason and I were just looking this up during the break. Adone's been in your system since he was like 17 years old.
Dominican.
Is he just kind of finding his way? Because we were looking at like his minor league numbers and then nothing really jumped out at us. Is he just kind of finding his way? Is he arriving now? What's the deal with Adone?
Well, he's been on our radar for a long time. And that's the problem with these quote unquote prospect list. You know what I mean? We know these guys very well. He's another product of our Latin American international department. He's got good size, good feel to pitch, and good stuff. What kind of separated him over the last year or two is that his poise is great, and he's throwing a lot more strikes. Yesterday was a big step forward for him. I think he threw like 67% strikes, and which is what we're looking for out of him, because his stuff is really good. He's pitching at 95, 96 miles an hour with a good changeup, with a good breaking ball, and a changeup that's in progress. So, that's the secret to these guys. Get that third pitch working where you can go to it at any time, throw strikes, get ahead, let your defenders be on their toes and make plays for you. And, you could see that yesterday, greatly gave us a chance to win both of those games.
Mike, if Strauss was healthy or Ross was healthy, would Adone still be on the big roster, or would he still be in the minors, do you think?
He was on my radar to be one of our rotation guys this year at some time during the season. Now, that didn't mean, necessarily mean opening day, but we're down three starting pitchers that we plan on this year with Sanchez and Strauss and Ross. So, we're kind of having to put guys into a position that they're a little bit uncomfortable with, but you have to take into consideration the makeup of the player, and we felt that Adone mentally was certainly ready for it, and physically you could see him taking his steps forward each and every time.
All right, since you mentioned him, it seems like we've been doing this for 2 years. Where are we at with Strauss right now?
No change. He's in Florida. He's still progressing according to plan, and hopefully that he gets out and throws in a rehab start in the near future, and then we get him here as soon as we can.
Mike, I'm sure you pay attention to that. I don't know if you pay attention across the league, but I just heard this yesterday. So at this point last year, the percentage of injured list players that were pitchers was 60. I think they said 66%. This year, right now, the percentage of pitchers on the IL is 78%. I mean, all the pitchers are getting hurt.
Yeah, it's a product of an uncertain off season, and not being able to have your arms around your own players, during the winter, and then a very short, quick spring training, and players are competitors. They're going to go after it, even if they, in their own mind, don't think they're 100% perfectly ready to start the season. But that's the nature of the beast, and we all have to deal with it. And it's a product of the environment we had this off season.
What was your take on the Kershaw thing? This is over a week ago, but he threw a perfect game, and he told Davey, I'm probably going to top out around 85. It was his first start of the year, and it was 38 degrees in Minnesota. People were killing Davey, but then they didn't realize it was Kershaw who wanted out of the game. What was your take on that?
I'm not familiar with these guys know 100 times more information than you and I know about what the situation really was.
Right.
So, I never second guess other teams' decisions just because I don't have the information. And if it's always about player protection and caring for the player. And if that's what happened here, then, they made the right call.
So Mike, I know that we had you on last week and you were, positive about Robles and that, he'd been hitting the ball hard and you liked his approach. And now you're starting to see some of the fruits of that, right?
Yeah, he's putting together better at bats. He's a player with a lot of talent, and his skill set is there. And I just think that hitting is a difficult skill set, and he's proven that he's done it at the highest level, and he did it very, very well. And I think that he got in some bad habits, and I know Darnell Coles and Davey have worked really hard to kind of tweak his approach and his stroke a little bit. It's not to say he's going to go out and get 10 hits in a row right now, but you know, he's handling pitches he should handle. He's putting the barrel on the ball more often. You know, he's had, I think, four or five, you know, 100-plus mile-an-hour exit velocities over the last, you know, handful of games. Not all of them have ended up in hits, but, again, putting better at-bats together. You see what he gives you in center field when he's right, and he's an important player for us. You know, he's a 24-year-old player that's got, you know, 3 years of big league time under his belt already and performed at the highest level on the championship caliber club in 2019. So, you know, we'd be remiss if we wrote him off so soon in his career with so much left in the tank.
Right. You know, for those of us that are old school guys and we just look at hits, average, home runs, slugging, that kind of thing. What numbers is exit velocity the number one thing you look at your guy to see how well he's hitting the ball?
No, absolutely not. You know, I look at the whole package. You know, first of all, I evaluate the player, the hand speed, the bat speed, the approach at the plate. You know, is he chasing out of the zone? What pitches is he chasing? You know, how pitchable is he? I always put my advanced scout hat on and say to myself, how would I attack this guy if I was on the other team and that type of thing? And you make adjustments after that. But, you know, when I see a guy with good bat speed and good hands with the bat, you know, putting the barrel of the bat on the ball, I think a barrel efficiency is very, very important. You know, those are, to me, the ingredients of a good hitter.
Is that even a – I'm sorry, I don't know. Is that even a stat, barrel efficiency? I love that.
It could definitely be quantified. And you know, I usually quantify it with the eyeball test. But, but yeah, there's statistics that can verify that. And there's statistics that can verify, you know, a lot of these other things. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, they can't quantify how comfortable you are to play. You know, what you're feeling that day and how your mental outlook is at the plate, because it's you know, to me, you know, physical is part of it, and mental is a huge part of hitting and hitting effectively at the big league level.
Mike, a lot of people before the season wondered about the bullpen. You brought Doolittle back. Tanner Rainey so far has got three saves as a closer. Talk about those two guys in particular. Doolittle has only given up one hit in six appearances, has six strikeouts and over five innings of work.
Yeah, they've both been great. Doo from the left side and Rainey from the right side. You know, it's been nice to see the handful of relievers step to the forefront. And again, the secret to our bullpen is throwing strikes. See, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you know, to me, pitching is you got to throw the ball over the plate. Mm-hmm. And when you're 2-0, 3-1 against hitters at the big league level, you know, the analytics will tell you that you know, you just turn that hitter into an all-star type of hitter. If you're 0-1, 0-2, you know, he's a 120 type of hitter. So throwing strikes is key to both of those guys. Their stuff is ticked up. You know, to me, especially with Tanner, is that if he's not walking guys, he's got a good chance of you know, that inning to be clean, and because his two pitches are so good that if he's thrown over to plate, we'll take our chances. He gave up two hits on two sliders yesterday. That doesn't happen very often, but you compact that with a walk, now you're in trouble.
Right,
and it took everything he had and it made some really quality pitches to get out of that thing without a run scoring.
Talking to Mike Rizzo, president, general manager of the Washington Nationals. So last night I saw an interview with World Series winning manager Jim Leland, a legend, and he was asked about the pitch clock. I guess data came out where the pitch clock being used in the minor leagues cut the game time by 25 minutes. Which is pretty significant. Where is Mike Rizzo on the future of the game and pitch clocks?
I would. I'd like to see it implement. I'd like to see it work before I make an opinion on it. I've never been at a game with a pitch clock. I'd like to see how it affects the hitters and the pitchers. And To me, if the pace of play improves, that's the most important thing. To me, game times are way less important than the tempo of the game.
Have you been okay with the universal DH?
Sure. I mean, it's here. So, yeah. Deal with it. Live with it. You know what I mean? We got a good one, and we're happy that we have Nelly Cruz as our primary DH. And if we didn't have him, I might have a little different opinion about it.
So, Fetty goes tonight against Merrill Kelly. Kelly's really good, too, by the way, for Arizona. But Fetty's been pretty good. I think that you've won both of his starts. He beat the Mets, and then he beat the Pirates. He's gone five innings in both of those starts. Hasn't given up too many runs, I think two in each start. So what have you seen from Eric in the last two starts?
Stuff has been good. Cutter's been great. He needs his pitch efficiency, his strike throwing efficiency needs to improve for him to go deeper into games. And I think that's his goal, obviously, and his next step is to be a guy that pitches deep into games for us. Mm-hmm. And I realize that there's not a lot of people in the league pitching seven or eight innings, with the exception of Max and those type of guys. We need our starters to go deeper in the games, because when they do, you see our record. It's hard to cover five and a third innings on a consistent basis with your bullpen. When our starters get us into into that six inning length of a game, it just closes the game up a lot easier for Davey to manipulate that bullpen.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next week. Good stuff. Keep it going.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
It's Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Nationals, brought to you by Main Street Bank. They are a business-focused community bank serving neighborhoods throughout the DMV. Main Street Bank put their team in your office. Visit them at mstreetbank.com. Welcome back. Chunky's All, 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Our pal Danny Ruye serving as an intern for the entire day.
What a nightmare.
Through your show, right? You're not doing overtime.
All the way through.
Or the Nationals games.
He's working like a 12, 13-hour day, whatever it is.
I know.
We have to stay an extra hour to do an interview, and I feel like I'm dead. I feel like someone just killed me, and my life is over.
Right.
He's doing 12-hour day.
Well, and then there are some people, like my accountant told me during this time of year, maybe it's only a couple of months, that he's working from 5 a.m. till 11 p.m. over and over
every
and
night.
Over again.
Yeah, that's a nightmare job.
Yeah, well, they get paid during those months.
They do get paid, and they work hard. But how are you surviving so far? You need a nap or anything?
Nap, yes, and just an onset of the bubble guts. I mean, that's, I think, what throws me off the most.
Really?
Is like, empty stomach, mm-hmm. gallon and a half of coffee to be able to come in and keep my eyes open. And it's
did you go in there and crush the toilet?
After this. It's just like a ninja star, just right through the middle now.
Yeah.
What time do you get up on a normal day if you didn't have to come in here?
7.
Really?
Because I got kids.
You got to get the kids out. Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so
there's no way your wife was happy when you said, "Honey, I got to go to the station for 13 hours."
Why? Because I lost. Yeah, right. not excited about it.
No, not happy.
So, are you? My understanding is you're not an EP guy. So,
correct.
In other words, when the Junks do the EP, you punch. You're a punch out guy.
Yes.
Did you know that, Gravy? Did you know he was anti-EP?
Hey, you're not the only one.
I do respect it.
Huh?
I do respect it.
You do respect it, though?
Yeah.
Because
Grab told me he's not a game ball and gassers guy.
Oh, is that what he is?
One of our segments. Totally fine. I mean, they're things that people can't stand.
He's probably not a bit season guy, because bit season is supposed to be no sports.
I don't think Danny even knows what bit season is.
No, I do. I know sometimes we have to do something to the mics when we come in. Because they were doing bit season before.
Oh, they have to get them back.
No, I know all about it. Yeah. It's The thing that I can't get over is the entertainment guy doesn't watch movies.
He doesn't watch anything. Yeah. He doesn't even watch TV shows.
None of the streaming TV shows. Like if they're panning for gold in
it's
a mountain.
It's more of a gossip segment.
Yeah, and
it's
I don't care about any of the people that you talk about.
Yeah.
So that's, I get that's
you
not
don't
for
like
me.
Hot
You're not into
Hollywood
bad
chicks?
Baby.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
But you know what? The entertainment is. But the entertainment page. Maybe originally it was about movies and recapping movies and TV. Now it's all morphed into, you know, the Kardashians.
Ben Affleck. It's just gossip.
Yeah, it's just gossip. Just
did you
stuff.
See who Britney Spears? I didn't. I guarantee I didn't see.
Yeah.
I never do.
All right.
What was
or did you see Russell Wilson's house? Or
yeah.
Yeah. No.
It's a gossip segment.
All right, but he's here to do the entertainment.
So,
and
his
sponsor.
Is this his? I know you're going to do the greed. Is it his EP or is it Valdez's EP that he's simply reading?
I think it well, look, I don't know what it's going to be. In theory, I think it should be Danny Ruye's. He has complete editorial control.
Yeah, I put one together.
His entertainment page.
Yeah, I'm working very hard.
And it is sponsored by Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers is in the love business. It's the easiest and smartest way to celebrate the real love of your life with real diamonds from a real jeweler that you can trust. IHateStevenSinger.com is the website.
What were we going to say?
I don't think Valdez is happy because all his stories are in the producer room here.
Oh.
That he printed off early this morning.
Right.
This EP's under protest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, but it's Danny's.
It's probably no dong stories.
Doesn't really count as an EP because it's not Eric's EP.
Okay, so it's Danny.
I offered to give my time.
And I'm a little upset because we've never had interns in the past do the entertainment page.
Oh, so he's just very upset about this. I like Danny doing it.
I do too.
Yeah, I like to see what's going on in the mind of Danny Ruye. So what is the lead story?
Valdez doesn't like it. It was my idea. Valdez doesn't like that I implemented it.
I told him I'd yield my time. I'm not trying to make anyone mad.
We want
whatever.
You to do it. Right.
Of course, Eric wants you to do it.
Why?
So you don't have to.
That's right.
He barely does it when
I know what. I know what scam you guys are running right now.
Hey, it wasn't my idea. I didn't lose the bet. This was all news to me.
There's no sex with teacher stories in here. That's about these.
What's the lead story for Danny Ruye's EP?
HBO Max right now. It is a feature. You've got The Batman available to you. It's a movie. I think you might enjoy it.
The Batman.
I don't think he would enjoy it.
No, he would.
Hear me out. It's about two young high school basketball players in Chicago trying to make their way one day to the NBA. And the head coach is kind of a bear at this school. Isaiah Thomas went to the school.
Yeah, right.
And so the Batman's trying to solve their career.
I think I would like it.
You would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I was a fan of the Batman. I think you did tweet that you just saw it.
I did. Finally just saw it on HBO Max.
It's a little long.
It's too long.
Now, this is Robert Pattinson, the Batman?
He's the Batman. So, his Bruce
Patterson,
Wayne.
Patterson.
Isn't he kind of soft to be a Batman?
So, he's very emo, very brooding. Yeah. He's got a lot of eye makeup on with or without the mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit too grunge, whiny Bruce Wayne. His Batman's pretty good. If I could say that. He's got that anger. He's still too skinny and handsome and dreamboaty.
He doesn't seem like a tough
Batman. I need my Batman to be a little bit yoked and angry.
Right.
He was pretty good, though. Overall, very positive. Paul Dano is a 10. A 10 is
Paul
Dano in this movie. He was the bad guy in There Will Be Blood, a movie about two high school basketball players.
Right.
Paul Dano. Wasn't he in the movie where he played, where he got, he was accused of... of assaulting or kidnapping, it wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal's daughter.
We're going down a wormhole here.
Was it Prisoners?
I've never heard of the person.
Prisoners is...
Wasn't Paul Dano in Prisoners?
I've never heard of the movie or the person.
No, Hugh Jackman was the main star.
Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't remember if Dano was in it or not.
I thought he played the kid that Hugh Jackman... locked up in the house.
Might be right. He was in Little Miss Sunshine. He was in There Will Be Blood. Really good actor. He's fantastic as the Riddler.
Oh, I got to make sure it's him.
Okay, well, let's...
Because I just pumped the brakes on that.
Okay, you got it.
Apparently it was... Yes, Paul Dano played Alex Jones in Prisoners. Thank you. I was right.
You're welcome.
But I just wanted to make sure everyone knew I was right.
Okay, I know. It's very important.
He played Alex Jones in InfoWars. Overall, very positive.
Mm-hmm.
Too long, though, this movie.
How long? Three hours.
It's a little under 3 hours.
HBO Max is just what?
It's basically
it's HBO,
it used to be
streaming.
HBO Go. It's their streaming option.
What's the difference? So just okay. So
if
it's
you
like
can
HBO
watch it on
Go.
HBO, you can do HBO Max.
So there's a number of movies HBO. Where before it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, they've bought a couple of those. So you could watch Wonder Woman 1984 on its release date. And there've been a couple of things where they're trying to make it so that it's worthwhile to you to subscribe.
Think of it as their Netflix,
Eric. HBO Go does not exist anymore. We've talked about this 100 times.
Well, it's like the same
thing. It's HBO Max. No, just forget about HBO Go.
Well,
it's
HBO
over
Go
with.
Was kind of like the online thing.
Yeah.
There's no HBO Go.
It's decommissioned.
Okay. Why
HBO
so
stopped.
Because
why
you asked this
so
question once a month.
Well, I'm just saying, like, why don't they just call it HBO?
Because it's separate from the live TV HBO. It's their streaming.
HBO Go made all the sense in the world. It was your HBO Online. Why did they change it to HBO Max?
It's rebranded.
Great question.
Thank
rebranded.
You.
Rebranded into thank something they can make money off of. By the way,
why did Comcast change to Xfinity?
Two TV shows you sleep on.
Go.
And he'll never see it.
Hold on. Let me just write it down.
Snowfall. Both on FX. Snowfall and Mayans.
Oh, Mayans. I thought you were going to say
that. Did you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
Okay, Mayans is a spinoff of Sons of Anarchy. Did you like Sons of Anarchy?
I liked it.
All right.
I liked
Mayans is, in my opinion, Mayans is better.
Are you a Better Call Saul guy?
People have told me it's great. But
Deep Slumber.
That's what people tell me.
Because you watch Breaking Bad, and you understand the excellence
didn't
of Breaking Bad.
Didn't see one episode of Breaking Bad.
None of you should do an EP.
All right, hold on. wait a minute. I just told you two shows you sleep on that are great.
Yeah.
Slumber.
Totally fair. When they get the acclaim and reach the excellence level for Breaking Bad, that you're
okay,
like,
I mean, that was popular.
No thanks.
Okay. I'm just telling you, you would like both of them.
I'll buy that. I'll give it a try. I'm like you. You're not going to try it, are you? You're not going to watch Breaking Bad or Better Call
I missed too many episodes. I probably missed 75 episodes.
All of a sudden, we're going to start talking about Breaking Bad. Can we miss the boat on it?
He did try Game of Jones.
Oh, that was terrible.
Game of Thrones.
You couldn't do it?
No, I can't do it. That's up your alley. Not
Wheelhouse. So good.
Yeah,
spinoff comes to HBO Max in a few months.
Which is the online. It used to be HBO Go.
It's basically the story of the Targaryens.
Just
which
wait
I know
for
you're,
a month from now when he asks again.
No,
can
I
get this on HBO?
Know, but just say it's HBO. Why don't they call it HBO Online?
We're bogged down on his first story.
Doesn't sound as good.
Let Danny have some play.
All right, sorry.
Fine.
Go ahead.
Massive trailer released yesterday, Bickle. Huge. Big deal. Thor, Love and Thunder, July 6th. What you're basically talking about here, is there a Beta Ray Bill cameo? We don't know. No one knows right now. You're wondering. I have no idea if that's going to happen.
I didn't even understand the sentence that you said.
I know. You're going to have Jane Foster as the Mighty Thor. Right? That's coming. We saw that in the trailer. That was rumored. The reveal is here.
Right.
That, of course, is Natalie Portman Ruye's character. She is going to don the armor. Mjolnir's been reforged. Under talked about. Original Mjolnir, you could see the cracks when you slow it down
Mjolnir?
To the microsecond. Yeah, Mjolnir.
What is that?
That's Thor's hammer. Whoever holds it can have the power of Thor, but only those who are worthy.
What Thor's superpower is his hammer?
He's basically, he's the god of thunder, so he's basically Marvel's equivalent of Superman.
Okay.
And who plays Thor?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Like a trivia question? Or
no, I'm asking you.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, okay.
Chris Hemsworth.
He always plays Thor, though, right?
He's been Thor since Jump Street.
All right, didn't
and
know
those,
that.
So Thor,
and was there a movie like Ragnarok?
Thor
like
Ragnarok,
that?
Exactly. Taika Waititi was the director.
Is Chris
there.
Hemsworth the one that was married to Miley Cyrus, or was
I think
it the
that's
other
Liam. That's Liam Hemsworth.
See, that's typical EP.
That's the lesser Hemsworth.
I've done more stories about Liam Hemsworth.
By the way, I get a little bit sized.
For Chris Hemsworth?
No.
I get a little bit sized
for Nat Port.
Correctly. Sat next to her at a dinner at a place called Supper in New York City.
I bet she smelled good.
Terrific. So it's tight tables, New York style, right? So my wife and I are right here, and she's right there. She's where JP is.
All right.
And we like made over eye contact the whole time, ended up getting in a fight because of it. But she was so hot just right there. She was like catching
up with
a friend.
Did she ever catch you looking at her?
No, I purposely... Because normally...
He tried to work in his peripheral.
Yeah, you would normally do...
It'd just be natural.
You see people.
Yeah,
I was
around.
So unnatural because
so
I was so
uncomfortable. So what was the wife's response that caused the fight?
No, we ended up getting an argument because we're just like staring at each other. And it was like uncomfortable.
Because she knew you were...
overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knew what was happening.
She's like, why don't you look at me lovingly like that most nights?
Yeah. But it was right after she'd just done the ballerina movie with Mila Kunis. Yeah, and then she ends up dating and then marrying or whatever the director guy. But I didn't know who that guy was. He was like super emo with like weird hair, and he was like very upset. Like gave her a hug and left her, and she like was hanging out with a friend.
Really?
And just ate a salad and was just so cute and hot.
Was she drinking a glass of wine?
Yes.
Were you drinking a glass of wine?
No, beer.
A beer.
Beer guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But anyway, So you're going to have Stormbreaker, obviously, which cut the head off of Thanos. The big deal in this one for Love and Thunder is the presence of Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher. We know that. Mm. You've already got the King Valkyrie situation of the Valkyrie. She's there in New Asgard, entertaining guests. But that
it's interesting that you can kind of project a movie based on the information, but you refuse to do that with a football team and their schedule.
Look, I'm looking at data. I have no idea if the movie's going to be good or not, but that's what happened in the trailer.
Think about the names in this. Hemsworth, Nat Port, Bale, Pratt, Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, Jeff Goldblum. I mean, there's some big dogs.
I know Vin Diesel's a big name, but does he have the acting chops that those do?
Well, he doesn't, and they give him one line. That line is, "I am Groot." He plays Groot, members of Guardians of the Galaxy, who, nice teaser there, Jason, will also appear in Thor.
It's going to be a big one.
It's a big crossover. Speaking of crossovers, folks, Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi releases. EPMD, this is another Disney Marvel production. So we already know Hayden Christensen reprises his role.
He's doing all movies that I would never see. Right.
Well, it's a TV show.
Oh, okay.
On Disney Plus. I care deeply about this.
So I had to ask him who played Thor.
All right.
So you're not alone.
Homeland. You watch Homeland? You boys watch Homeland?
Yes.
Actor Rupert Friend. Remember him? Ooh. So starting season two, I want to say, Peter something or other.
Peter.
He was the agent. His spoiler alert, his untimely death broke me.
Yes, Rupert Friend.
Season 11 of Homeland.
He a Brit.
He's your big bad. He plays the Grand Inquisitor, of course, Darkseid Force users, Eric, that are underneath Darth Vader. When they're meant to hunt down the remaining Jedi from Order 66 that survived. And they also, it chronicles a couple high school basketball players who are attempting.
You're trying to reel me back in, I get it.
Trying to hope. So we know that Hayden Christensen's back. We're probably going to see another Peter Cushing cameo, even though he passed away tragically in 94. We were able to do that with Rogue One, his slight cameo there. And we're looking for others, potentially maybe a Mace Windu that's been rumored there on the internet, right? Even though Windu obviously, presumably subdued by Emperor Palpatine in the throne room, there's been talk that he might actually reprise a role. Of course, a Qui-Gon Jinn cameo as a Force ghost has been implied
Mace
for a number
Windu.
Of years.
All right, Mace Windu? Mace Windu?
Windu. Oh, Windu. Windu. Purple lightsaber.
Okay. I'd rather put my head through a window than watch Mace Windu.
Final one for you, because I can sense the riveted
I'm listening.
People. Ish. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness comes out this summer. That, of course, is your post-Scarlet Witch. Because here's what's happened. In Marvel, we're now sort of stuck. You had these cosmic-level events, right, where you've got the Stones of Power. You've got Thanos and his gauntlet snapping his fingers, eliminating half of all life. You undo that in Endgame, okay? Huge deal, obviously. Where do you go from here, right? The galaxy's been saved, right? Multiverse. They introduce it in Loki. Okay, now you've got the capability of, it happened in that universe, but now we've got near infinite universes.
Did you have the multiverse in Spider-Man? That's why there were three Spideys?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm dozing.
Exactly. You're Brian Dozing. I'm dozing. Listen, multiverse introduced, Kang the Conqueror is coming. We know that, obviously, because that character is in Loki. Now you've got the Scarlet Witch intimately involved in this Doctor Strange movie. They didn't want to give her own, but she probably should have. The show is pretty good, by the way. Speaking of Paul Bettany, who you spoke about earlier, he's intimately involved in the show as anyone, Vision. The point is, you've got Scarlet Witch opposite Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, endless enemies, and that's kind of the way you expand the universe.
Are you going to tell all of these stories to Lars Eller at 11? Because he will be riveted.
He's not in on any of it.
I'm telling you, he's a big fan of Mace Windu.
I just hope
Mace Windu
sounds like me during the Lars Eller.
And as of a month ago, Elden Ring from Software sold over 12 million copies. They're approaching 20.
Here's something that Jason will care about.
Thank you
very
much.
The PGA Tour is coming back to D.C., Jason.
I know it is.
The top golfers in the world converge on the TPC Potomac for the 2022 Wells Fargo Championship, May 5th through the 8th. It is the last PGA Tour event scheduled locally until 2031. So you don't want to miss your chance to see the world's best, including Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, Tony Finau, Gary Woodland, and more. You can get your tickets at WellsFargoChampionship.com. Children 15 and under, they can get in free. Secure your place to watch the drama unfold. WellsFargoChampionship.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Thanks again to Danny for interning for us today. I guess he's going to do it for B. Mitch and Finley. Looks like Nick Ashew's here. He's going to fill in for where's JP Finley?
I think he's on vacation with the fam
somewhere.
I saw
a picture
of a Disney bit? I think he might be doing a Disney bit with the kids or something. I don't know. Something. And then I saw Cakes commented like he was all excited. Yeah. Like it was some sort of ride or
of
something.
Of course.
I don't know where it is. Yeah, I don't know.
We knew that was happening.
I honestly didn't know that Cakes was such a Disney guy.
Didn't either. No clue.
You know, and I'll be honest, like I know that Simba and Belle are Disney characters, but I never thought like, oh, they must be Disney fanatics. They're naming their pets after Disney characters.
Yeah.
Although Cakes said, and I don't remember the name of his most recent pet edition, that the most recent one is not named after a Disney character.
Right. Well,
nobody knows.
Everybody evolves, JP. All right. So,
but he's a big Disney guy.
This just came out within the last 24 hours. I don't know when, but I saw it on my feed that the Commanders, part of their 105-page response to the allegations, I guess, made by Jason Friedman is. They're pretty much trashing him. They're trying to
hammering him.
They're trying to, I guess, portray him as a disgruntled employee. So I'll read some of this for you. If you get bored, I'll stop. Friedman was fired, according to the Commanders, for professional misconduct in October 2020 by Jason Wright, the team president. He was fired for engaging in violation of the team's conduct and fraternization policy. Friedman repeatedly, according to them, berated his staff, including minority women. His staff stated that he was dismissive, heavy-handed, and abrasive, yells and curses, threatened to terminate an employee for taking PTO. What is PTO?
Personal time off.
Or paternity time.
Paternity.
No, paid time off.
Paid time off, and created a culture of fear. By his own admission, he had a reputation for saying really, really crude things in a workplace. Join the club. For example,
sounds like you're talking about Dan Snyder.
Friedman referred to someone in a work email as an effing Korean nut job. He wrote emails to team employees about engaging in sex acts with sluts. This is some old school stuff here. He admitted to using the word F about 500 times a day.
Sounds
this
like you.
Included his allegedly common refrain to make love to the customer, not F the customer. And by make love, he apparently meant, according to one employee, to engage in certain graphic sex acts to make a sale. So do whatever you got to do to make a sale. You know what he's getting at. They're saying, then they're going even deeper. During his employment with the team, I don't know what Friedman's deal is. I don't know if this guy's married. I don't know what his deal is. They're saying during his employment with the team, Friedman engaged in a secret sexual relationship with Jane Doe, who was 15 years his junior. So they're clubbing him for dating someone younger, I guess, who directly reported to him. He exchanged sexually explicit emails and photographs with Doe, who later became a part-time employee of the team, on their team email account, sometimes forwarded these photos to himself, also on the team email account. Specifically, Friedman was photographed in a sexually provocative position with Doe while wearing team credentials in a restroom in a suite at FedEx Field.
Let me just interject for a second.
Yeah.
All of this could be true.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it is true, but all of it could be true.
And what he
and
says
he could
be
still
true.
Be absolutely right. Correct about the financial right. Improprieties. They are just trying to make him look like the worst human being possible.
Yes.
And he's in a pickle.
Though. Fairly standard.
He's in a pickle because, according to Lisa Banks and the attorney that's representing him, and I don't know enough about it, but he can't even speak. Yeah, he can't even speak on it. He can't even clear his name.
Where they're saying Friedman took steps to conceal his impermissible sexual relationship, including discussing purchasing privacy screens for their phones to hide their text messages from other employees. This was funny to Drab and I. He even lied to his own mother in an email sent from his team email account.
How would they know?
Because they read his emails, I guess, with whom he was having a sexual relationship. Who he told his mother works the stadium, but not in my department.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of the whole thing's embarrassing all the way around. It's an embarrassing effing organization, and these kinds of things happen all over the place. There,
yeah, sounds like the perfect employee for them.
I
But he was just—he's just a witness, right? Because weren't the claims made from the cheerleaders themselves?
Yeah, no, but he's talking about the cook in the books.
Yeah,
he's the cook in the books guy.
He's the
witness that too. I don't know.
He's the one who said they weren't giving the security deposits back to fans.
Oh yeah, he's
or
the
they
witness.
Were making it hard to do it.
I do think he is
like
the
sales
witness.
Manager there or something.
He's the witness on the Snyder
creative sales.
Pushing the girl into the limo bit.
Yeah, right.
He's all over the place.
Yeah. He's a wild one. They had a lot of wild ones over there. That play, you want to talk about a toxic work environment. No one's going to deny that, right? That was a toxic work environment.
No, we've talked to too many people who have left there. Yeah, I think all agree.
I think it's undeniable. I think you say that without like, there's no chance that Dan and those guys are going to claim that it wasn't a toxic work environment, right? Are they? They're not claiming that, are they?
Well, I think he's admitted to that.
Yeah, it was, but we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it obviously was.
Well, before all this came out and was made public, he probably would have.
He would have denied it. But you can't deny
it. Was great.
The evidence is overwhelming that it was a toxic work environment.
Apparently, although they do deny a lot of the individual allegations.
Apparently as late as October 2020 when he was fired.
So Jason Wright fired him?
Yeah.
That's what their commanders are saying.
Yes. Yes. Which, you know, sounds like justifiably so. So who knows?
If all that's true.
The effing organization.
But who lies more than anybody on the planet? The Washington Commanders.
All right, we got to get out of here. Jason. For Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle, I'm John Paul Flame. We will see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.